You know, I was thinking when I was growing up how many things that my parents allowed me to do, and as I grew up and I felt like they gave me a little more responsibility. They allowed me to have more responsibility and to do more things and to take ownership of some things and maybe to try to demonstrate that I'm growing up a little bit and maybe trying to begin entering into young adulthood. And I was thankful for all the things that my parents let me do. But you know, sometimes my parents had to say no. I asked for certain things, and you know, I can remember times where I might have asked Dad, can I borrow the car Friday night? I'd like to go somewhere with my friends, or I'd like to go to my friend's house. And sometimes Mom and Dad would say no. And they usually gave a reason, and of course, it was hard for me to maybe accept and understand all the reasons at that time, but usually gave a reason. Not always. Sometimes they didn't give a reason, and I just had to take it and accept it. But, you know, as I got older, and as I began to have children of my own, to be married, have children of my own, I began to realize why they sometimes had to say no to certain requests that I had. And it was, in hindsight, it was easy for me to see. It was always for my own good. It was hard for me to see that when I was young and when I wanted to borrow the car keys, or maybe I wanted to spend the night at a friend's home and they said, no, not this weekend, for whatever reason. It was hard for me to understand then, but in hindsight, and having tried to raise some children of my own, I now realize why it was a great benefit, and it was always done for my best interest and on behalf of me. Sometimes our parents had to say no. Well, did you know this morning that God is the same way with you and I? Sometimes we ask for things from the Lord, we pray for certain things, but did you know that sometimes God says no? And he has good reason that he says no. And he has many reasons that he says no. And if the Lord would help us for a little bit this morning, I want to try to look at a few of the reasons why God sometimes says no to our prayers and our requests. You know, it's a lot easier as we grow up and we now become filling the shoes of parents ourselves, and we have children of our own to raise. It makes it much easier to understand why sometimes my parents had to say no when I was growing up. And I hope that we can trust and understand this morning that those times that God says no to you and I, to our request, it's always for our own good and our best interest. You know, the Bible teaches us that we should ask God for many things, that we should stay in constant prayer and constant communication with God concerning the issues of life and throughout our daily walk, and we certainly need to do that, and I would always want to encourage you to do that. But we should also, God teaches us that we should pray to him often. And do you remember here not too long ago, I mean within the last 2 or 3 months, I know we talked one Sunday morning about prayer and specifically about praying with importunity. In other words, relentless prayer, not stopping, not giving up so easy, but praying. And God taught us to pray that way, and we should do that. But sometimes God is going to say no. I want to try to look at a few of those times, give you some Bible examples this morning and a few things we might think about together on this subject. Sometimes when God says no, it is simply because of our disobedience towards him. You might not think that you and I are disobedient to God very often. You may think we're never disobedient to God. But I have a feeling that probably all of us have been at some point in time, and maybe in the future, although I'm not proud of that, and I certainly don't want to be. But we find examples in the scriptures where very remarkable characters in the scriptures were disobedient to God, And I'll tell you what I learned from it is that there's always consequences. And oftentimes God will say no because of our disobedience. Here's a case in point. You might remember when the children of Israel first came out of Egyptian bondage way back in the early books of the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 17. The people were not very long come out of Egypt and out of bondage, and they got out into the desert away from Egypt there, and they began to be thirsty. And they began to ask their leader, Moses, for water, and began to complain that they were thirsty and were wondering, is God with them? Are you sure God is with us? Because we're thirsty and we're kind of wondering, Moses, have you led us out into this wilderness that we might die of thirst? Well, Moses did the right thing, and Moses fell on his knees and he prayed to the Lord and he asked God, and he brought this problem to God, and God told Moses what to do. He told him, he says, you are to take your rod and you are to smite this particular rock with your rod, and the water will flow and come forth, and the people shall have water. And we find, when we go over and read that account, we find that's exactly what happened. Moses did as God said, and he smote the rock with his rod, and the water flowed out, and all the people had water to drink, and everyone was happy again. Now, later on, we're going to find in Numbers chapter 20, as you read along through there, you're going to find a second occasion where God's people began to be thirsty, and they began to ask Moses for water again. Well, this time was different. God told Moses, Moses did the right thing. He prayed to God, and he asked God what he was to do. And God told Moses, you are to speak to the rock this time, and the water shall come forth. And so, do you remember what happened there? You remember how Moses and Aaron stood up before the people, and I really don't know why Moses did this, but instead of speaking to the rock as God instructed him, he smote the rock again with his rod. Now, God is such a good God, and he's such a loving and a caring and a providing God that he provided water, and the water flowed out of the rock anyway, even though Moses disobeyed God and he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. The water still came out and the people had water to drink and they were happy again. But I'll tell you, the Lord was not happy with Moses because of that. And why? Because Moses disobeyed God. He plainly disobeyed the simple and plain commandment God gave him that this time you are to speak to the rock. And God has his reasons. You know, as you get over in the New Testament, you'll read where the Apostle Paul said that, speaking of the Israelites and in that day and time when they were in the desert and they needed the water, Paul said that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And we know that God said that the rock was only to be smitten one time. God's Son, Jesus Christ, was the rock that followed them, and he's the rock that they really drank from that provided water for their souls. But God said, my Son's only going to be smitten one time. You're not to smite the rock again. And so Moses did so, and he disobeyed God. And I'll tell you what it ended up costing Moses and Aaron is that they never set foot in Canaan's land. God was bringing his people out of Egyptian bondage. He had a beautiful land of flowing with milk and honey that he was going to provide, called the Promised Land. God had promised to his children, and Moses was going to lead them in there until he disobeyed God. And you know, when Moses disobeyed God and he smote the rock instead of speaking to it, God said no. You keep reading in the Old Testament and you get over to Deuteronomy in chapter 3, and you'll read where Moses had a little prayer to the Lord over there, and he asked the Lord, would you please let me go and see that land, that beautiful promised land. I think Moses began to recognize what he was going to miss out on, and he asked God, would you let me see that promised land? And God's answer was, no, you are not going to see it. And God also says, don't speak to me any further about this matter. In other words, don't ask me again. Have you ever had your parents say something like that to you? I have many times. Sometimes I was a little too forthright, and maybe I badgered my mom or dad about asking for something, and the answer kept being no, and I didn't want to accept it. And finally, they had to tell me, don't ask me again. And so that's happened to me before, but did you know it happened to Moses? Moses asked the Lord about that after he disobeyed God, and God says, no, the answer is no, and he says, don't speak to me any further under this matter. Isn't God in so many ways like a good parent to us? I mean, he is. He's a good parent to you and I. He loves you. He loves his children. And he's always looking out for our best. But sometimes he has to say no. And I just hope that we as his people can understand and realize when God says no to our prayers, it's for our best interest. It always is. And there's another example a little further into the scriptures in the Old Testament of someone who disobeyed. Do you remember when Israel decided that they began to look around them and they began to look at their neighbors in their neighboring countries, and they decided that they were not satisfied with the judges that God had given them up to that point, and they said, we would like a king. We would like to have a king to rule and to reign over us like everyone else. Well, good or bad, God granted them their wish and their desire, and he anointed a man named Saul to be the first king of Israel. And as you read along in 1 Samuel chapter 15, you'll find that it came to the point in time in Saul's life where God instructed him to go and to attack the Amalekites, and God made it very, very clear. He gave very specific instructions to Saul and to the Israelites that they are to completely annihilate and destroy the Amalekites. And that was God's commandment to them. And he says, and not only the Amalekites, but all of their livestock as well. You were to destroy it all. You Bible readers probably remember what happened. You probably remember that the king Saul, what he did when he went in there is he only partially obeyed God, but what did he do? He spared the king named Agag. He spared the king, and he spared a lot of the livestock because he thought he was going to take that livestock and bring that back, and he would offer that in sacrifice to God. In other words, whatever reason, he thought that he could take these animals that God had said destroy, maybe I can use them. They look like perfectly good animals to me. I'll use that for sacrifice. I won't have to sacrifice part of my herd. I mean, I see the reasoning why he did this, but I'll tell you, God is not ever pleased with disobedience. And so you remember the story over there, what happened. The man named Saul, God says, no, because of your disobedience in me concerning the Amalekites and what you did, and you disobeyed my orders, he says, you're not going to be king anymore. And God removed him from being king of Israel and replaced him with David. And so there's another example of where God was very unhappy and very dissatisfied with a case of disobedience. And he therefore said, no, you're not going to be king any longer. So you can see there's a couple of good Bible examples of why one of the reasons that God may have for saying no could be disobedience. I'm sure there's others. In fact, I could think of a few others, but I want to move on and look at a couple of different ones this morning as well. It's just funny to me why Saul did this. God plainly told him, destroy every one of those animals and destroy the Amalekites. But yet Saul took it upon himself. Saul had some reason in his mind why he thought it would be better to disobey God. I have a better idea. You remember what Solomon said? Solomon said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so man always has a lot of ideas, but they're often wrong. And so we have to be very careful about that. Sometimes God says no because of disobedience. Sometimes God says no simply because of sin. God detests and he hates sin in our life. And if it ever arises and it becomes a problem with us sinning before God, God will most assuredly call us out on it, and there will be consequences for it. You will not sin with impunity before a righteous and a holy God. I mean, the Bible just teaches us that over and over and over. That's the God that we serve. We have a loving God. We have a loving Father. We have a God that cares deeply about us and about the very small things of our daily life he cares about, but he detests sin and he does not like it. You can go to 2 Samuel and look at chapters 11 and 12, and you'll read about an incident in King David's life where he committed sexual immorality with Bathsheba, who was the wife of a man named Uriah, who David ultimately had murdered. Uriah the Hittite, David had him murdered, and then he had committed sexual immorality with Bathsheba. And I'll tell you, God was very displeased with King David. Here's another case where you and I and God's children, we could probably sit for days and wonder why David made some of these poor decisions in his life. Did you know that God said he's a man after mine own heart? He describes David as being that way, and yet we look at some of the decisions that David made and it puzzles us, and it's very hard for you and I to understand. I'll tell you what I think a lot of the problem is, and one of the things that seems to explain and reconcile why people make such bad decisions is because of the fallen nature that we have inherited from our federal head, Adam. All of us have this fallen nature inside of us that we're trying to deal with, and therefore it causes us to be subject to a lot of bad decisions in life if we're not careful. But you know the story, what happened with David. As a result of that immorality with Bathsheba, there was a child born out of that union. And because of David's grievous sin that he committed, the sin of adultery and taking another man's wife and having that man murdered to try to cover up his crime, he thought he would hide things and he thought he would do it not being seen, but God saw every part of that and God was not fooled. And when that little child was born, part of the punishment is that God struck the little child with a sickness and illness. The little child that was born of that union, God struck that child with illness. And you remember what David did? David's heart was moved for that little child, and he says that he fasted and he prayed for 7 days that God might spare the life of that little child. You know, which one of us would not be praying for a little child should we know one that became sick? There's certainly nothing wrong with praying for a sick child. Every single one of us would do it. David fasted and he prayed for 7 days nonstop that God might spare the life of this child. But I'm sorry, do you know what God's answer was? It was no. The little child died. And furthermore, not only did that little child die, but 3 other of David's sons died later on. David lost 4 children because of his sin. Sometimes God says no, and it's because of sin. And we don't like to think about that, but it's the truth, isn't it? It's just the stark truth of the Bible is that we have examples of where this has happened. Once again, why did David make decisions like this? You know what God said somewhere in this account? God said about David, he said, "I anointed thee king of Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's wives. I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given thee such and such things." And God says, "Why have you done these things?" And all David could say was, "I have sinned against thee. I have sinned against thee." And so God said no to sparing the life of that little child. Isn't it a hard lesson for you and I to realize, isn't this an eye-opener to realize that sometimes our sins can impact others in such a great way? The sins of each one of us, we may never know how it has directly impacted someone else in a negative way. Because of David's sin, four people died. It's an eye-opener to me to realize that. Sometimes God says no, and it's because of disobedience. Sometimes it's because of sin. You read along in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, and you'll read where the children of Israel, as they came out of Egypt and God prepared them, getting them ready to go into the promised land, God told Moses to send spies, to choose out 12 men to be spies. You send them into the land ahead of you. They are to spy out the land. They can go and bring back a report, what you can expect in terms of the cities, what kind of buildings are there, how are the cities laid out. Give you a little scouting report before you go in there. God instructed them to do this. You send those people. Do you remember what happened? When the 12 spies came back, they went in and they spied the land out for 40 days. They checked it out. They went through the land and they saw that it was a good land, but they came back and what happened? 10 out of the 12 spies came back with an evil report saying that it's too dangerous. We cannot go in. We cannot take this land because the cities are strong. The cities have big walls built around them. The people are of a large stature. We saw giants there in the land. 10 out of the 12, 83%, said, "We cannot go in there. We will be annihilated." Only Joshua and Caleb, 2 out of the 10, said, "Yes, we can go in." Do you know God was not pleased with that report? Isn't it interesting that such a huge majority of the people were wrong? You know what I find? I find oftentimes when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to religion, and when it comes to worshiping God in spirit and in truth, do you know that I often find that there's a large majority of people who don't understand the truth? It really is. 83% came back with the wrong answer. That's a lot. 10 out of 12 people had the wrong answer. Now, these were people that Moses chose out of each tribe. I feel like he chose someone who the people would have some level of respect for, somebody that was capable of going and completing the mission and coming back with an intelligence assessment. And they came back, but 10 of them came back with the wrong answer. Completely wrong answer, 83%. That is a lot. Well, you know, God wasn't happy with that. God is not happy with unbelief. You might as well lump it under the sin category, you know. We just talked about David and his sin and his immorality and that being sin, and God said no because of that. You might as well lump unbelief in the same category. It is sinful before God. It is a sin. Unbelief is a sin before God. So it could really go in the same category. But there's another reason where God will sometimes say no. It's because of unbelief. You know how God said no this time? He says, okay, 10 out of the 12, you don't think we can go in and you can't take this land that I'm giving you and I'm telling you to go in and here's the land that I have provided for you? He says, okay. He says, you're just going to wander around in the desert then. Just get ready to go in circles. And he says, I'll tell you what. He says, for every day that you spied out the land, you can wander for a whole year here in the desert. So they wandered for how long? 40 years. 40 years they wandered around in circles in the desert until every last one of them, age 20 and older, passed away and their carcasses perished in the desert. Only Joshua and Caleb were allowed to take them and the younger ones, and they eventually went into Canaan's land. God says, no, you're not going in, and it's going to be 40 years later before anybody goes in because of your unbelief. Now, I'll tell you, talk about another eye-opener. I start thinking about my personal life, and I start thinking a little bit about the times in life where I have had unbelief, and I have been unbelieving, and I did not think God could do certain things, or I did not believe God would be interested in hearing about certain things, and it makes me tremble. It makes me tremble when I think of just my own self and the times in life where I had unbelief and I was unbelieving towards the greatness and the love of God. That's eye-opening to me. There is no telling what blessings that I may have forsaken and given up in my lifetime just simply because of my unbelief. I hope I can learn from this. Every time I read about the children of Israel and I read about their unbelief in this situation and not wanting to go forward as God had instructed them, it makes me try to remember that I want my belief to always be strong and I want to remain faithful to my God and I want to always believe that He is able to do exceedingly above that which I may think and all the things certainly that I may stand in need of. That's the God that we serve. So sometimes God says no because of disobedience. Sometimes He says no because of sin. Sometimes He says no because of unbelief. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there was a wicked king named Ahaz, and his wife Jezebel were wicked. And that was during the time when the prophet Elijah lived. And we have an occasion in 1 Kings 19 where Jezebel threatened the life of Elijah. And then when he heard about that, Elijah ran for his life and he ran away. And we find him sitting under a juniper tree praying this prayer. He prayed to the Lord that the Lord would take his life. He had had enough of being pursued and always having his life threatened. There he was, a prophet of God, and always having someone chasing him and threatening him with his life. He had come to the end of his rope, so to speak, and he's sitting under a juniper tree, feeling sorry for himself, and he requested that God might take his life. You know, you might think to yourself, that's an extreme case. But I'm not so sure how extreme that it really is. Sometimes people come to a place in this life where they feel they have no hope. There are people today that, due to circumstances in their life, due to tragedies that have happened in their life, due to poor decisions that they have made and the resulting consequences of those decisions, economic, financial, relational hardships, and you just name it, it goes on and on and on. And the burdens and the pressures of life and many failures, repeated failures in someone's life stacks up, and they find themselves at the end of their rope and they feel like there's no desire, there's no reason to carry on with life. This is not an isolated circumstance with this man Elijah, one of the great prophets and great characters of the Bible. This is not isolated. But aren't you glad as we read the story of what happened to this man Elijah, we might understand of how he got there. We might understand of some of the burdens of life that drove him and steered him to that point that he requested God take his life. But I'm glad to know that God said no. The answer that God gave was no. And the reason that he gave the answer no is because he had something better for Elijah. God always has something better for his people. Always, there's something always to look forward to in terms of God and his kingdom and being a part of his kingdom and his church family. I don't care where life might bring us. I'll tell you, I know people who have gotten to this same point that Elijah did, and God had something better in mind. He always has an answer. I'll tell you, God had much work for Elijah to do. And as you read about the story and the life of Elijah and how he ended up transferring many of the portion of his spirit unto the next prophet whose name was Elisha. And you read about the life of this man Elijah. God had much work for him to do. God always has something better in store. Sometimes God says no because he has reasons that we don't know about. And it's often the case with God. Sometimes God will say no to our prayers because our priorities get out of order. That's another reason where God can sometimes say no. I'm glad God doesn't answer every prayer that we ever pray and everything that we ever ask for. I shudder to think where I would have been and the shape I would have been in if God would have answered every prayer that I ever prayed. Thank goodness God loved me enough that he didn't do that and that he oftentimes said no, or he sometimes said no. But sometimes our priorities get out of order. Do you remember in the New Testament? Let's go over to the New Testament for just a moment. Here's an example of someone whose priorities got a little bit out of focus. There was a time over there in Luke chapter 10, you can read about two sisters named Martha and Mary. It says that Jesus came into their home, and Martha had received Jesus into their home. And as you're reading along there, you'll find scripture teaches us that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing his words. I'll tell you, friends, that's always a good place for you and I to be, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. But we find that Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she actually spoke up to the Lord and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Martha was so cumbered about. That means that you are overcome with many thoughts and you have lost focus. You can't see the big picture anymore and you're not keeping things in perspective. You have sort of lost your focus a little bit because you're focusing on the wrong things. Now, I don't know if that sounds like anybody you might know, but I think about many times where I did the very same thing in life. I know that I focused on the wrong things from time to time. But Martha went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, don't you care that my sister is just sitting there and she's not helping me prepare and serve? Why don't you tell her to get up and help me?" And what was Jesus' answer? It was no. Jesus said no to Martha because Martha's priorities were out of order. What was Jesus' answer? He said that, "Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He says, Martha, I realize that you're busy. He says, but you're careful and troubled about many things. You see, Martha was the thinker. Martha never relaxed very much. Martha was a good homemaker, but she was the planner type. Martha always had to be planning something. She always had to think it out, think things out in advance. And she currently, right now, at the moment, she's focused on, well, I have a house guest here, and it's Jesus, and we must get this meal prepared. Everything must be set out and placed in order. That's the most important thing. Jesus is in the house, but we have to get things ready. Jesus, would you please tell my sister to help me? And Jesus says, wait a minute. He says, you're careful and troubled about many things. I wonder how many times Jesus may have whispered that to me in my lifetime. You're careful and troubled about many things. But what about the good part? Have you chosen the good part? Mary chose the good part. Mary chose to be sitting at the feet of the Savior. So many other things in life can wait, can't they? Life is busy. There's things we have to do. I have a list of things I'm going to have to try to do this coming week. I'm kind of dreading it a little bit. It's just going to be a busy week. But you know, life can wait. Life can oftentimes wait. You don't have to be so careful and troubled about so many things that we forget about sitting at the feet of the Savior and hearing His word. Because that's what will do us good. That's the part in life that'll do us so much good, is sitting at the feet of the Savior, hearing His words. That's why I need this place. I need to come to the Lord's house. I need this every week. Jesus said no to Martha because her priorities were a little bit out of order. That's a good reminder for you and I this morning about how we always need to order our lives, making sure that we put Jesus first in every aspect of our lives. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll read about the Apostle Paul. He says and he admits that he was given many revelations about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the man whose name used to be Saul of Tarsus. You remember the man that everyone feared? All Christians feared Saul of Tarsus because he was coming and he would arrest you and he would torture you and he would punish you and he would persecute anybody that was a follower of the Lord Jesus. But you remember the story of how the Lord went and he struck this man down and the Lord performed such a work of grace upon Saul of Tarsus's heart and he used him to be one of the great apostles of his ministry and one of the great writers of the New Testament scriptures. And we find that Paul says, he admits that I had many revelations. The Lord Jesus Christ gave Paul many revelations of knowledge concerning himself and concerning his kingdom. And Paul was a very gifted minister, very gifted speaker and writer. And so Paul says that, but he says that in order that I might be prevented from being overly exalted because of the number of revelations that's been given me, he says, God gave me a thorn in the flesh to keep me from being over exalted because I did receive these revelations. Do you remember what Paul did? Paul says that he approached the Lord and he asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn from his flesh. He didn't say what the thorn was either. It's kind of interesting to me. Men and women have speculated through the years what the thorn in Paul's flesh may have been, but we don't really know because Paul didn't tell us. And it's really not important so much what the thorn was, the fact that he had a thorn in his flesh, something that troubled him, something that was inconvenient, something that he did not like, and he sincerely asked the Lord to remove that thorn. But what was God's answer? God said no. God's answer was no. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes God says no because he has an important lesson to teach us. I'm thankful for all the times where God says yes to our prayers, but sometimes he says no. Sometimes it's disobedience. Sometimes it's because of sin. Sometimes God has other designs and he has other plans for us. Sometimes God is teaching us a lesson. He told Paul that his grace was sufficient. He says, "My grace will be enough for you. It's all that you need is my grace." Do you know those words will still ring true for you and I today? That God's grace is still sufficient. It's sufficient for Paul and it's sufficient for you and I. I love this. God told him, he says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Whose weakness? Paul's weakness. The thorn in his flesh was a weakness that Paul had, and he says the strength of God was made perfect through that thorn in the flesh. Sometimes God is teaching us a lesson when he says no. Kind of running out of time this morning here. I had a couple of others. I'll just mention them. You can go look at them. You can read them and look at them yourself. I'll just mention a couple others. You remember, and we've talked about some of these before. Sometimes God says no because he's testing our faith. He's simply testing our faith. You know, the scriptures teach us, God says that he is going to try our faith from time to time. Now, we need to know that. We need to remind one another that God will test our faith from time to time. It's important that we remind ourselves of that. Do you remember the Greek Syrophoenician woman in Mark chapter 7 who came to Jesus, and she had a daughter that was possessed of a devil, and she came and asked Jesus to remove the devil from her daughter? And do you remember Jesus' first answer? He told her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs." He sort of gave her a demeaning, insulting answer, didn't he? Inferring that she was a dog. She was a Gentile, Syrophoenician dog. And he says, the things that are for the children of God, he says, they need to be filled first. He said, it's not acceptable to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. A lot of people would have given up. But you know what she did? I love her answer. It may be one of the best answers I've ever read in the entire scriptures. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." She did not give up. Jesus' next words were, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." He didn't say yes at first, did he? She asked a very worthwhile thing, that Jesus might heal her daughter of this devil, but Jesus didn't immediately say yes. You know why? I think he was testing her faith. He gave her an answer and he sort of put her off a little bit, and I think a lot of people would have been offended. Maybe insulted a little bit, maybe offended, maybe would have turned and said, "I don't know about this Jesus. He's not who I thought he was." But she says, "Truth, Lord, but even the children eat of the crumbs." There's always something left for us. And Jesus answered her prayer, and he healed her daughter of the devil. He's testing our faith. He's always doing it. There were a couple other examples. One was in Luke chapter 18. We've talked about it before. You remember the unjust judge? Remember the widow that came and wanted to be avenged of her adversary? And what did she do? He said no, but she kept coming and coming and coming. And Jesus taught us to hear what the unjust judge saith. And so Jesus says that God will absolutely avenge his own speedily, which cry unto him day and night. The widow kept coming, and the judge, because of her insistence and her persistence, he finally said yes. Jesus taught us to hear what the judge says. He's teaching us how to pray. Sometimes God's testing our faith. There was another in Luke chapter 11. Remember the story about the man who had a friend that came at midnight needing 3 loaves. But he was already in bed. His children were already in bed. The door's already shut. And he didn't want to get up and help him. And he says that the man would not rise at first, but he eventually gave in because of his friend's importunity. Remember, we looked at that word. We talked about that one Sunday. His importunity in asking for help was this. It was demanding. It was pressing, even to the point of being shameless or troublesome, even audacious. He kept asking, I need the 3 loaves. Can you please help me? And he says he wouldn't get up because he was his friend, but because of his importunity, the fact that he kept coming and coming and coming and he kept asking, he got up. I believe the Lord is teaching us through all of these examples that the Lord tests our faith from time to time, and we are to not give up. Sometimes we pray until we get a final answer. Sometimes God outright says no. Sometimes God says, don't ask me about that anymore, as he did to Moses. But sometimes he doesn't answer, and we keep asking and we keep asking. But God has various reasons why he says no, doesn't he? It's good that you and I might know that, that God's children might understand that just because we go to God, he's more than a loving parent to you and I. Sometimes he says yes, but sometimes he says no. But it's good for us to always remember those times that he says no, he always has a good reason. I say the God we serve this morning is a loving God, and he cares about you and I. I hope we'll always remember that and encourage one another in that way. May God bless and keep you.